what we do when we see a star. How many of you have ever sung the nursery rhyme, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? If you have, put your hand up. Well, that's awesome, because that means when we sing it right now, we're going to wake up our neighbors who didn't come tonight. And so I would ask you to join me in singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. That was beautiful. That was wonderful. When was the last time you sang Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star at a Christmas Eve service? This might be your first and last time, maybe. Now, you might be thinking, why in the world is this guy having us sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? I thought we're here to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And if that's what you're thinking and that's why you're here, you're still in the right place, because that really is why we're here. That's what this whole evening is about. And if you think about it, it really did begin with a star. A star showed up and twinkled in the night sky a little over 2,000 years ago, and it played a pretty important part in this birth narrative they have about Jesus' beginning. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we find recorded a story about this star that showed up, and a group of wise men, they called them wise men, probably years later, but still a part of our narrative, they said, we need to follow that star. And when they followed it, they found a little baby. And they found the baby Jesus, and the scripture tells us that they were filled with joy. How many people in our world today could say that they're filled with joy? And I believe that's what tonight's all about, of giving us a reason to have joy. So I want to read the passage of scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. It's in chapter 2. You can follow along on the screen with me. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, with all of Jerusalem with him. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Not the truth, of course. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, would you read those last words with me? They were overjoyed. Isn't that awesome? They saw the star and they're overjoyed. I'm pretty sure the Magi didn't know the words of the song we just sang, of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. But for some reason, they knew that night it was very important that they follow that star. And because they did, they were overjoyed. Because I found another verse. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star has about 5 different verses. I didn't know that. But there's one verse in this rhyme that the Magi could have written. And here are the words. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Then the traveler in the dark thanks you for your tiny spark. He could not see where to go if you did not twinkle so. If you think about it, we wouldn't know to follow Jesus if it wasn't for the very beginning when he was born. The star guided those wise men so long ago. It was also there the night it lit the night for the shepherds. And it signaled the way for Emmanuel, which means God with us. It announced the arrival of the birth of that little baby who grew up to be our Savior. And just like a little while ago when we lit the Christ candle Advent wreath, this candle reminds us of Christ. It's only a candle, but it reminds us of the star that led those wise men so, so long ago. As we've already said, for the last 4 weeks, we here at PCC have been on what we call the journey as we looked at what these 4 candles represent to us this Christmas season. And what we said is they were gifts that were given by and given through Jesus to us. And on this journey, as you saw in the video, these candles represent to us the hope that we have when we're hurting. It's the love when we least expect it but need it the most. It's for joy for those who are hurting. And it's peace for the brokenhearted. And that might describe you tonight. Maybe only one of those categories. But we realize that Christ is really the answer for all of those. It's really amazing when you stop to think about it. It's after 2,000 plus years, the message of Christ, the message of Christmas, is still the greatest news in the world. Nothing else compares to it. We might get a nice gift. We might get something we've been wanting for. But nothing compares to the gift of Christ. What makes it the best news? Some of you have just been asking yourself that question. And I want to tell you, I'm glad you asked, because that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. And we can find those three things, what makes that message still the greatest message in the passage that Jen read for us. And so I'd like to point out three things that makes the Christmas message still the greatest message. The first thing I want to say is that it's a message that's personal. The Christmas message is very, very personal. Let me get a drink of water. While the shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night, doing whatever it is that shepherds do, they appear and they say, I bring who? I bring you good news. Normally at that time in Roman history, there was only one group of people who brought good news, and that was the Roman Empire themselves. They would say, good news, the emperor's wife just had a baby. And everyone would go, whoopee, what does that have to do with me? Good news, the emperor's chariot is going to come through your village. Well, so what? Who cares? How does that affect me? In our text, the angels don't give news that won't affect them. He says, I have good news just for you. And the news that I'm going to share with you is going to make your life better. This news is going to make you see how much God really, really loves you. Because this news is very, very personal. Most of us love to get personal notes. It says, Dear Wendell. And it's very different from the other letters that we get the rest of the year. Dear Wendell from Mr. Verizon, they're not really caring about me. Dear Wendell from Discover, this letter is very, very personal. And this letter comes from God to us. He's not asking for money. It's a personal message from someone who cares. And that's what the Christmas message is. It's a personal message from God. And God says, I love you so much that I came down personally from heaven. I laid aside all my glory and took on flesh, and I became a baby. I love you so much that then I grew up and I climbed a hill called Calvary, and I paid the price for your sin. That's why we need a Savior. He didn't come because we didn't need Him. He came because we needed forgiveness. How do we know that God loves us that much? Probably one of the most well-known verses is John 3:16, and it tells us. I'd ask you to read this with me. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. The Christmas message is personal. It was written to you, and it was written to me. The second thing that tells us that this message is still the best news in the world is that the Christmas message is a positive message. Turn on the news, watch it for a few minutes. It is not positive. It is not positive at all. But the message that the angel gave that night is very positive. He says, I bring you good news of what? Great joy. That's exactly right. It's a message that will make you happy. We've all been to church service, except for the one you're in now, where the message didn't make you happy. I've heard that the pastor here is awesome. He'll never, ever make you not happy. Believe it or not, there are going to be messages that will come about and it will not make you happy. But this message, no matter what you're going through, can do that for you. It can make you happy. Christmas is a time of celebration. And we know it's a time of celebration because in our text in Luke chapter 2, a few verses later in verse 14, the angel said this, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. They shouted that out. They couldn't contain it any longer. They couldn't hold back their celebration. And sometimes we have this news in us as Christians. We come together and we're afraid to show it. When our team wins and we're watching football, do we scream and holler? Just a little bit, unless they lost. When you get promoted and you're waiting for that job and you get the promotion, we holler, we high five. All those different things. Why can't we wake up tomorrow and give a shout of praise because the greatest leader in the world was born? To wake up and say, God, thank you for being the best news in the world. And it's okay to do that. How do we know it's okay to do that? Way back in the Psalms, Psalm 100, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." So tomorrow morning, if everybody else isn't with you on this in the family, freak them out and just scream, "Yes, God, thank you for the birth of your son." Okay? And then tell me about it. I'd love to hear how it goes. Not only is it a time of celebration, it's also a time of salvation. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, a Savior. Now again, back in that time, Roman Caesars were the ones who ruled the world. And you could go into the cities and it would name whoever those Caesars were. You could go to Ephesus and there was a big archway that said this, "Caesar Augustus, the Son of God." You can go into Rome, there was a sign that said, "Emperor Titus, the Savior of the world." Now we know that those guys have died and are buried and their bones are somewhere. God wants us to know that Jesus is the only and the true Savior. He saves us not by conquering armies, not by defeating enemies, but by conquering the sin in our lives, by conquering death, by conquering hell with the sacrifice on the cross. He has the power to erase any mistake that you've ever made in your life. And some of the mistakes we've made are pretty big. Some of them have been very damaging. But he has the power to make our lives beautiful again. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 7. "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" That means all the stuff that created it in us. And it says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through," who does it say? "Jesus Christ, our Lord." He's our Savior. And we've seen that the Christmas message is both personal, we've seen that it's positive, but there's one more thing. It's also universal. It's universal. Luke chapter 2 verse 10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" You know who all the people includes? Fabians, Pompeians, Kylerians, Delphians, any of the groups around here, that's us. It's for every single one of us. Some of you might think, "Well, Wendell, I do not deserve the blessings of God. I have done a lot of," and you can fill in the blank, "I've done a lot of dumb things. I've said a lot of horrible things to family and friends and parents, to my kids. I've hurt people. I've messed my life up so bad, I will never be good enough for God." And if that's what you're thinking, I can tell you tonight that you're wrong. All that stuff might be true about you, but the Bible says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And that means you, no matter what you've done. No matter how many sins you have in your history, the blood of Christ can remove them. We have a verse, and it's one of those ones that I memorized long ago. It's in 1 John 1:8 and 9, but in it, it tells us that we can be forgiven. If we claim to be without sin, so if you say, "I'm not a sinner," we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Not some, not a little, not most. What does it say? All. Every bit of it. Some of you have been Christians for a long time. But some of you are saying, "You know what? I've not been the best Christian. My life is kind of messy. My life has been not what I know God wants it to be. I worry. I struggle with my relationships. I struggle with anger, pride, lust." Put in whatever it is that you can fill in the blank. Don't you think, Wendell, that God's going to eventually just get tired of me and say, "I don't want you anymore"? Again, if that's what you're thinking, you're wrong. Because the answer to that is no. What does the angel say? "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." For every one of us. He came down to hang out with people like us. I love that. People who struggle. People who have hang-ups. People who haven't got it perfectly together yet. Jesus Christ is God's Christmas present for all people. For us. Let me ask you this. How would you feel if you took all your money, all your resources, you purchased one present for that person that you love the most, for a kid, a spouse, for somebody, and you bought it, you spent everything, you gave it to that person, they go, "I really don't want it." What would be the word that's come to my mind? I'd be mad. I'd be sad. I'd be upset. Think about what God must feel like when we make excuses about not accepting the most wonderful gift in the world that he could ever give to us. He gave us the perfect Christmas gift in his Son. The one and only Son born so that we could have forgiveness. A question that only you can answer. I can't answer it for you. Have you received the gift that God offers you this evening? The greatest gift in the world. The gift of forgiveness. Simply by saying, God, you came, you sent your Son as my Savior because I needed forgiveness. And I ask you to come into my life. I want to start this Christmas brand new. I can think of no greater gift for this Christmas that you could receive. As the words of We Three Kings, it's one of the Christmas songs we sing. It says, O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. This Advent, the star that we've been talking about, has done just that. It's led us to God's perfect light, to Jesus. And my prayer is that we would allow that light to illuminate our Christmas so it's not just the tree and presents and food, which are awesome, but so the minor part of what Christmas is about. And when we do this, we'll gather together and we'll carry hope and love and joy and peace as we head out into the world to let people know that Jesus loves them, the true light of the world. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Jesus, for coming into our world. Thank you for loving us, God, so much, for laying aside all of your glory and taking on flesh. Thank you that that star led those wise men so long ago, and I pray that we would seek after you as those wise men did. And when we find you, we will be overjoyed. So we just thank you, Lord, that we could be together tonight. It's your name we pray. Amen. Well, we have a tradition here where we close.